This episode of The Profit Express is brought to you by Corbett Public Relations, promoting and protecting businesses and brands for over 30 years. And you can visit them at CorbettPR.com. That's CorbettPR.com. Well, hello and welcome to The Profit Express. I am Tim Healy, and I'm inviting you to join me each and every week so together we can win the battle for business. Now, today's episode is one I look forward to each and every year, and we could all use a fun, lighthearted episode, and that is going to be today's episode because this is the annual Christmas show right here on The Profit Express. And who better to have on as my guest? And you're probably already wondering, I hope he has on who I'm thinking. That's right. Comedic improv genius himself. There he's getting all Hollywood. Scott Baker. Scott, how are you, sir?
I'm great. I'm great. Life is so bright. I got to wear shades, Tim. You know what I'm saying? I love how you converted your show into the Zoom podcast. I think it's great. A lot of fun.
It's StreamYard, but thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it. You're close. It's technology.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to expect too much right off the bat.
I'm just mastering my solar power calculator right now. So it's about as technical as I get.
Oh, goodness. Well, again, it's great to have you back. The listeners of the show, you are a fan favorite, that's for sure. And you're also part of the Quickest Thinkers in Comedy.
Yes. That is a completely off-the-cuff, improvisational type of show. I switch partners in and out depending on who's available, with either Al Isaacs or Vinnie Mark.
Sure. Now, didn't you wrap up the season at Woodlock out in Pennsylvania?
You know, isn't it sad? Like the show business or the happy side of me says, wow, what a great year.
Yeah.
And then the humanitarian side of me really feels bad even saying that, because I think we were maybe one of the only comedians working on the East Coast. And, because everything's been so bad, you know, so I feel bad for all the other people in show business, you know, bands and comedians, anybody. They're just people who had like the cruise industry completely decimated. So it's been kind of tough, but we were real fortunate. Woodlock Pines and Rocking Horse Ranch had us all summer. It was great.
Well, yeah, you certainly were lucky, fortunate, whatever you want to call it. You know, you're able to do business. I mean, they're out in Pennsylvania. You know, this past Monday that Manhattan, they shut down the restaurants again for indoor dining. So,
yeah.
I mean, who knows? But you know what? It is going to be brutal. But here's one of the bright lights that so many of us can at least look forward to as we say goodbye to 2020. And that's Christmas. That's the holiday season. That's New Year. That's Hanukkah, right? And I've always looked forward to this show with you just because it's a fun show. It's, you know, you're a perfect guest to have on for a show like this. And you know what? You have amazed the listeners, because there's also a very popular segment that you do called Guess the Business Icon, and one of my favorites. And I got to be honest, you absolutely blew me away with some of, on like the first clue, you guess some really amazing business icons. So today,
you know, Tim, they say the hardest punch is the one you don't see coming. You know? You know, I suckered you in thinking I was a complete moron when I'm only half moron.
Did I do that? As a former boxer, you're all too aware of those sucker punches coming. But
that's right. I had 21 fights. I won 16, and the other five I came in second.
So I will be testing your knowledge of Christmas history as far as the best songs of all time and also the best-selling Christmas toys of all time.
All right.
So I can't wait to kind of jump in.
One second.
Uh-oh.
Putting on my thinking cap. Okay.
Well, here, listen, since this is a Profit Express, before we get into the fun trivia for today, there's some good news from the on the economic front. According to USA Today, in a recent article that had come out, because people are, you know, fatigued with COVID, they've had it, whether, you know, they've had challenges and adversity, whether it's physical, emotional, financial, you know, it runs the gamut. But the retail industry is already starting to see, and they're predicting growth at a rate of about 3.6 to over 5% over 2019.
Really?
I guess it's like retail therapy. People just want to feel good.
I would say that's probably true. Yeah.
That's kind of what I'm thinking.
Also, since restaurants are closed, you know, the entertainment dollar that people have budgeted may be shifted over to the Christmas season and buying that. So instead of going out and spending $200 for maybe a dinner where you would do once a month or twice a month, I haven't been able to do that in quite some time. So you put an extra $1,000 maybe into people's pockets and they're like, well, my budget's the same, you know, and, you know, they did get some unemployment for some people or whatever. And, you know, some of the stimulus, you know, that gets to, you know, when a government throws out $1 trillion, that's got to eventually take its time to work through into people's pockets.
It's going to have an effect for sure. Now, I mean, it's great for retailers. And so many of us, as you know, when, you know, you have the holidays, as you say, you go out with family and friends, you know, you go out for extra dinners. There's no holiday parties. This was the time with my clients that it was like a circuit. I was going from one holiday party to the next.
Oh, you're a popular guy. I mean, you know,
what's
a party without Tim Healy from the Profit Express?
I don't want to name drop, but hey, so that's all gone. That's all done away with. So yeah, the dollars are shifting. Unfortunately, I just feel horrible for the restaurants. I really do. So we all do. But the, you know, retailers will benefit. Hopefully not just the Amazons of the world and but the local Main Street stores.
Well, you should say that because Jeff Bezos is hurting, you know.
Yeah, I don't know how many billions he's up. Maybe it's actually this is a great year for him, to tell you the truth.
Well, listen, I don't want to live in a world where a man only has three yachts. You know what I mean? I don't know how he does it.
That's just not right. So again, starting off with some good news, retail is expected to go up about 3.5 to 5%, which would be fantastic. And that equates to, I think the numbers were about $755 billion. In retail volume, which is tremendous. Now, so let's get to the fun of the show. I know you put on your thinking cap.
Go on.
I hope the batteries are fully charged.
It's on. I had to take my tinfoil hat off.
Yes. So let's start with music. Let's start with Christmas music. Now, I go to ranker.com, okay, the website, and this is the 2020 list of best Christmas songs. Okay, so it's updated each year. They go out to their audience, they take these surveys, and I've gone to Ranker past couple of years. You and I have done the show, and little disappointed in some of what made it to the top list here. So let's see how good Scott Baker is at guessing the number one.
Ooh.
Actually, no, you know what? We'll do it the other way. I'll warm you up. We'll start at number 10. How's that? See if you can guess 10. You won't guess all of them. Okay. Number 10. What made it to the top 10 this year, according to Ranker.com, best Christmas songs?
Well, that's tough because, you know, you get different millennials coming up, and are they the ones voting, or that, you know what I mean? So the classics, are they gone? They don't even know some of the classics.
Well, that's an interesting point, because a lot of the artists have changed even over the last year or two.
That's right. And I wouldn't know, like, you know, did all of a sudden, like, one day, here's like Paul McCartney is always a happy one, Simply Having a Wonderful Christmas Time.
Right.
See, that was always an uplifting song. But did the young kids even know who Paul McCartney is?
That's a good point.
I mean, you know, this is one kid when I said, like, I think he did something with Kanye West, and he said, boy, I don't know who this Paul McCartney is, but, you know, he better be thankful that Kanye even recognized me.
I remember that.
Yeah.
I remember that. That was fantastic. Number 10, what do you think cracked into the top 10?
I'm going to say the Paul McCartney song cracks the top 10.
Not even close,
really. I figured, you know, maybe like an upbeat one, people like it or something.
No, yeah, I'm quite surprised. So number 10 will make sense. Very popular song. And that is All I Want for Christmas, Mariah Carey.
Oh, you know, it's so funny. I was going to say that when I was
a millennial. Oh, stop. Stop.
I was going to say Mariah Carey, but then I was like, maybe she's not even hip enough for the millennials now, you know?
Well, listen, she's been around a long time. I don't think she's a millennial herself.
Maybe she's too old for like the millennials. No offense to Mariah. I don't know if she's listening to the show. I don't want to insult her, you know?
She's a big fan. Big fan.
You're calling me again, Tim.
I don't mean to name drop. So All I Want for Christmas, Mariah Carey, is that she just cracks the top 10. Now, there are two, let me go at this a different way. There are two mega stars, okay, of all time. And each of these two made it into the top 10 twice with two songs. Okay, so we have two megastars, made it into the top 10 twice each. Who do you think they are?
I would say, White Christmas from Bing Crosby's got to be up there, right?
Well, I'm just asking for the artist.
Bing Crosby.
Okay, Bing Crosby is one. You are correct. He had two songs. Who is the other artist?
The other artist in the top 10 of Christmas songs, correct?
Christmas songs.
So I got Bing.
This is the 2020 Profit Express Christmas show, by the way, in case you missed the intro. Right.
But I got the Bing Crosby one. Mm-hmm. Of Christmas songs. He's only got one. I would just say, no, he's only got one song. The Bruce Springsteen, Santa Claus Coming to Town, it's got to be in that top 10, though.
And you are wrong.
Wrong on the top 10?
Yes. Okay. Yes. Yeah, he didn't even crack the top 10.
That's a pretty popular song, though.
So we have Bing Crosby made the top 10 with two songs. What other megastar is on it twice?
Megastar. Would it be Sinatra?
Bingo.
Okay.
Frank Sinatra.
Then my world is still complete.
Right? Exactly.
It's been a crazy year, but at least there's still some remnants of sanity. You know, Crosby and Sinatra in the top 10. I can handle anything else you're going to give me.
You're okay. So let me read off. So we had Bing Crosby at number 9. Do You Hear What I Hear?
Oh, classic. All right.
Love that song. And then few notches up, number 7, I'll Be Home for Christmas, Bing Crosby.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Blue Eyes, Frank Sinatra made it to number 4 with Jingle Bells. I love that, by the way. Sinatra's version of Jingle Bells, my favorite version.
Oh, he can sing anything. He can sing a Flintstones theme song and make it sound good.
Pretty much.
Flintstones.
So now, Scott, let me ask you. Sinatra made it into the number 1 spot with what song?
Is it Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas? Does he sing that?
Bingo.
There you go. That's my favorite song, by the way, of all time. My favorite Christmas song of all time.
Made it to number 1, old Blue Eyes himself.
That's number 1?
Number 1.
That's my favorite song of all time. I love it. My favorite Christmas song of all time.
Now, let's talk about the top 3 now. So I just mentioned Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas, Frank Sinatra.
Okay.
Then we have number 2, Carol of the Bells.
Never heard of it.
Well, you probably don't remember the title, but you definitely heard the song.
Say a few notes.
I can't do that. But anyhow, guess who the artist was at number 2, according to Ranker.com? The artist.
I wouldn't know the title of the song. If I heard it, I'd probably know.
Pentatonix.
Who?
Pentatonix.
Don't they make the exercise bike?
That would be Peloton. Very close, but right. No.
Maybe it's an offshoot. Maybe it's a Pelotonic son.
The Profit Express is getting off to a whirlwind start here for the 2020 Christmas special.
Think about it. They were a one-hit wonder. They had the song Carol of the Bells. They took that money. They invested it into exercise bikes. You know what I mean?
They probably wish they had, but they hadn't.
You sure there's not a correlation there?
No, thank you.
I'll Google it when we're done.
Yeah, go on the Google. Go on the Google, right?
I'm pretty sure it's pretty close. There's a connection there. I'll find it.
Nah, you will. You're good like that. So the number three, this I was highly disappointed. Number 3 is It's Beginning to Look a Lot Like Christmas. Okay, classic song. Yeah. Classic song. Guess the artist.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Na, 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 na.
Please, without singing.
But wasn't it? Sinatra didn't do that one. I thought Sinatra did that one.
He might have. I don't think so. Actually, I don't think Sinatra did that one.
Hmm. And because it's not, if you're disappointed with the artist, then it can't be the artist that's the one we usually hear.
It's not Sinatra.
Doctor,
I'll give you a hint. He's a contemporary artist. I'll tell you that. I'll give you a hint. And it's a guy.
Michael Bubbles.
Oh yes,
that's him, right?
Michael Bubbles.
Yeah.
I not a huge fan, you know, but I'm just.
He's a crooner though. He's a modern day crooner, so I can see the women loving him, going, "Oh my goodness, listen to that voice. It's like velvet, and I love it. It's so nice. I just love him. He's so great. Can we get tickets to see him?"
Yeah. So he was on it, you know. Okay, but what's funny with this list, Scott, is as I'm looking over it, just the 3 years. I went back in my notes, right? Uh-huh. And a lot. You made a great point. The people who are going on to Ranker, they're changing. They're obviously getting younger. Their tastes are changing.
Sure.
And a lot of the songs that you and I spoke about last year and 2018, they're either not on the list, or there's different artists.
Yeah, it's a different artist. I know, like my daughter, I've taught her about the Rat Pack. So when we're cooking, or like she was baking the other day and put on Christmas songs, but she'll know the Sinatra songs and she'll sing along with them.
Okay.
She'll know. She'll put on Rat Pack or Sinatra, but she also, that's when we're together. When she's alone, it's, you know, like this, I don't know what the hell they was.
You're right. The kids' music, right.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's not music to me. It's just talking into a microphone, but, you know, but those are new artists and they go, "Oh, I love this song. What are they saying?" "I don't know. I just love the rhythm." It's, you know, so they don't really know what they're listening to. They just, it's someone rhyming something.
So, sounds like it's rhyming. Yeah, no, I'm with you on that one. I'm with you. So, here's a few others. Now, this one blows me away. Bing Crosby's White Christmas, which is one of the best-selling of all time. I believe it was written in 1932, the early 1930s. That's how old it is. Almost 100 years old at this point, right?
Right. Well, you were five then, right?
Yeah. I was. a youngster. So Ranker.com does the top 100 Christmas songs. Bing Crosby's White Christmas came in at number 44.
What?
45.
That's the perfect example of the youth movement, not knowing who Bing Crosby is anymore.
Right. I mean, he was in it twice, but White Christmas, not even the top 20, number 40.
Because that was the first one I said, and you said wrong, because I thought, "I'm dreaming of a White Christmas." I mean, that's about as classic as it gets.
That's a safe bet, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
I mean, that's where you walk in. I mean, I can even picture it as a kid walking into my aunt's apartment, or we had friends, the Gionis, Johnny and Joni Gioni, when we lived in Brooklyn, and we go there for Christmas. And
wait, are you making those names up? Johnny and Joni Gioni?
Johnny and Joni Gioni.
Say that three times fast.
No, what are the odds of a guy named John Gioni meeting and marrying a woman named Joni?
She loves them. That's apparent. You got that.
They've passed, but they were great people. We used to go there, and, you know, the house was open, always a ton of food. But in those days, you know, it was different because you go to Brooklyn and you had like a small apartment or a small house.
Right.
You know, because the houses in Brooklyn, if people aren't from Brooklyn, the houses, I guess, railroad-ish. You know, they're tall and they go back, but they're not very wide.
Right.
You know? So, you know, and you fit, everybody would just stop in and, you know, you take a piece of cake, a coffee, a cappuccino, you know, a drink, and then you go to the next one and you stop it. There's always like 15 people in there bringing a gift, dropping a gift, da, da, da. But that reminds me, you'd walk in and you'd have that song playing.
Yeah.
You know, you'd have those songs, those classics. It's just, it exuded warmth, you know?
Right. Now so it's funny because my parents grew up in Brooklyn. My aunt, who passed this year, you know, she was always in Brooklyn, and so many of those memories as you're describing that, it brings me back to my Christmases over at Ann and Uncle Richie's.
But on the Italian side, so we had like different alcohol. You probably had beer, being Irish, right?
there could have been some of that if memory serves me. There could have been.
And
now
that was
on the menu for sure.
Keep you warm, right?
That's why they do it.
Yeah.
Now here's something. I have to write a letter to these Ranker people.
Uh-huh.
Very upset. I was upset last year. Very upset. I'm fuming. That's how upset I am.
You're on the bad side of the Healy side of the Healy.
So here we have the top 100 of all time. Number one, we have White Christmas, Bing Crosby, 44. But then, even worse than that, my all-time favorite Christmas song, Dominic the Donkey.
That's your favorite?
How can you not? It didn't even make the list, Scott. Dominic the Donkey.
Thank you, Ranker, for showing class and taste.
It's the Italian Christmas donkey because the reindeer can't climb the hills of Italy. I mean, come on. It's fantastic.
And that's your favorite, though?
Yes, I love that song. Because
I mean, you do have to play it because you got to be some laughs at Christmas and some fun and blah, blah, blah. But I don't know if my favorite. Well, you think it would be within the top 100.
Okay. All right. I know it's not going to make the top 10. Okay.
The top 100. I mean, come on. Everybody knows that song.
I scoured the top 100. I went down. I went up. I went nowhere to be found. And this is, you and I started doing this show, not to be found, Dominic the Donkey. I don't know we have to start hashtag Dominic the Donkey. We have to get, you know, some support for this, for Ranker.
We got to school the youth on what real fun is.
Oh, man. That is just a classic song.
I mean, how do they not have that in the top 100? You got to sing that once. You got to listen to it once during Christmas time, at least.
Once. It's been like 20 times. It's on my playlist when I jog. I mean, I love that song. I don't know what it is. I love that song. No, but you see, what are the families? I mean, what's Christmas about? The holidays, Hanukkah, New Year's. It's about family. It's about memories.
Yeah.
And I was just talking about my Aunt Ann who passed this year. And she was in Brooklyn, and she played all of these songs. And I was first introduced to Dominic the Donkey by my Aunt Ann. Yeah.
And for a kid, it's a fun song.
Oh, you can't, you know, how do you go wrong with that song?
You put that on for your six-year-old, seven-year-old, and, like, you know, eyes light up. Because now it's not that warm song that the 6 and 7 year olds may not understand so much.
Yeah.
So they sing Dominic the Donkey, and they laugh, and they have it, and then it stays in their mind forever like it did with you.
All right, so Dominic the Donkey is my favorite, and apparently you're disappointed. Now, did you already mention your favorite?
Yeah, I did. It was Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas.
Okay.
Yeah, that's my favorite Christmas song of all time.
Right. And this is the Prophet Express, and today we're about having fun as we wrap up 2020. And if you're like me, and probably almost every American out there, you're all too happy to say goodbye to 2020. And what better way to say goodbye than with the annual Christmas show here in the Prophet Express? And there's only one guest I could bring on, and he is, of course, improv comedic genius Scott Baker. So we have the favorite Christmas song. You did a good job guessing again.
Off too much.
No.
I should have pulled the trigger on that Mariah Carey, go with your gut, you know?
Yeah, you waffled.
I know, and that's you know what? You always learn. You hear it. God put you on this earth to teach or to learn. You know
right.
what I mean? And you taught me something, and I should have learned.
So let's talk about this next. Growing up, you've already shared some memories. Is there a... either a particular year, a particular memory, or a tradition growing up with the holidays and Christmas that you look back fondly?
Oh, let's see. A tradition or a special year?
Yeah. A special memory of a Christmas?
Yeah. My cousin Stephanie, you know, when you leave Brooklyn, you either move to Long Island or Staten Island. You know, it's either one or the other.
Right, one of the islands.
Right, and like Vic DiBenedetto says, you know, Staten Island's just, you know, it's Brooklyn with a cover charge because you got to pay that enormous toll going over to Verrazano. So she moved over there, and she would host Christmas Eve.
Right.
And the last Christmas Eve that I spent with my mother was at my cousin Stephanie's house, and I remember my mother fell asleep in a chair by the Christmas tree.
Right.
And I saw yourself a Merry Little Christmas. And the one line in that song which rings true is – through the years, we all will be together if the fates allow. And that's just such a warm, warm line because I remember specifically looking over. It was after you open the gifts Christmas morning, but Christmas Eve, you do open some gifts for the people who came for Christmas Eve and then they can't stay together for Christmas.
Right.
You exchange your gifts and you like to see people's faces, you know?
Right.
So, until midnight, traditionally, and open one or two gifts.
right,
you know, on Christmas Eve. And then because this way, if you're not together Christmas morning, so, you know, it gets late and, you know, the seven fishes, but you eat so much and all the so, you know, you're sitting there, you got to open your pants up, you know. So as a kid, we go to my Aunt Lily's in Brooklyn, and she had this one little apartment. And that was Christmas Eve. But then as I got older, so we went to my cousin Stephanie's. But that memory stays, because that's why that song, whenever that song comes on, I remember it always reminds me to not take life for granted.
Yeah.
You just don't know who's going to be here in the future. And it's like, wait, you know, this is special. We're all together. Don't let the little things bother you so much. I mean, you know, sometimes we all get caught up in yelling or mad at something stupid you can't find. I'm notorious for, if something's not where it should be in the house, I lose my, you know, like, why is it? I'm such an idiot with that. It's something I got to work on. But, you know, look, then Christmas time and that song comes on, you're like, really? Does it really matter if the scissor isn't in the drawer? Does it really matter? You know, so it brings you back. For me, it brings you back to humble myself. Be like, relax.
Yeah.
Not the end of the world, you know, so, because you can't find your shoelace. Relax.
Well, you know what? And this is why I love having you on. Every show, and you've been on the show a number of times over the years, you come up with something really reflective, really introspective, if you will. And the one lyric from that song, Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas, you know, you were saying, if the fates allow, basically saying, if we're both around.
Right, because you don't know.
And it's so true. And again, this has been a tough year for a lot of people. And there's been a lot of loss out there.
Yeah.
And you know what? Also, like you said, we all get wrapped up. I'm guilty of it. You're guilty of it. Whether somebody didn't put something away or it's business.
It's so trivial.
It's nothing.
It's so trivial to get mad at, you know?
It really is. But you know, Scott, that's a great reminder. We all need that reminder because, you know what? Before social media, you had family. After social media, you still have your family.
Right.
Or after politics, it doesn't matter. It's still your family. It's still your friends, whatever. So it's cherish it because, like you said, you don't know next year. You don't know tomorrow.
Right. You don't know. If someone would have said, right, in December 24th, Christmas Eve, going into Christmas in 2019, oh, by the way, the next whole entire year, we're going to lose it. 300,000 people to a disease and to a virus, and you're gonna, you know, just in this country alone, and everything's gonna be shut down, people are gonna lose their business. Be like, listen, Mr. Gloom and Doom, there's the door,
right?
Get out of here. What you talking about, right? You don't know. So just when those things come, cherish those moments, find a little bit more forgiveness when people aren't malicious and they mess up. I mean, someone's malicious, you know, you can't have them those toxic people in your life. But if they're not malicious and they make a mistake, do you really want to blow up at them? You know,
yeah.
I mean, it's not worth it. It's just silly. And I think that's what sometimes, you know, God puts that in our faces to remind us of relax. There's a lot more important things, you know.
Wow. Scott Baker, under that rough exterior, you have a soft underbelly. Look at you.
You know, the rough exterior, Lori likes it. She says, don't shave. Makes me look manly.
You got to please the lady. Make sure she's happy. So this is the Prophet Express. This is the 2020 annual Christmas show. One of my favorites of the year with one of my favorite guests, of course, Scott Baker. And that group you're part of is?
The Quickest Thinkers in Comedy.
And people getting in touch with you, reaching out, connecting. How can they do that?
They can go to, they can find us on Facebook.
Right.
Or they can go to countryclubcomedyshows.com.
Beautiful, beautiful. So, again, this is The Prophet Express, and today's episode of The Prophet Express is brought to you by Corbett Public Relations, promoting and protecting businesses and brands for over 30 years. And you can visit them at CorbettPR.com. That's CorbettPR.com. So again, welcome aboard the Prophet Express. It's the annual 2020 Christmas show with none other than Scott Baker, improv comedic genius. And just completely off topic, I was introduced to Scott because I don't know how many years ago, 7, 8 years ago, I wanted to take an improv comedy class. Not to learn how to be funny necessarily, but I always realized, and I've done reading and research about the value of improv comedy and how it can teach you to become a really effective and powerful communicator. So I took a class. Scott Baker himself was running it. The rest is history. And again, completely off topic, but if you're a business owner, you're a sales pro, you're an entrepreneur, communication is one of your most valuable tools. Highly recommend researching and even taking a class on improv comedy. I just wanted to shout that out to you, Scott.
I appreciate it. You know, it's a lot of fun. I did a Zoom for AARP sponsored it, and it was for the Bay Street Theater out in Sag Harbor.
And okay.
We had people from all over the country, Chicago, L.A.
Really?
People from Denver. I was really amazed, and they loved it. I didn't know if we could do it by Zoom, but we did. And, you know, it teaches you interpersonal communication as well. Because I teach people how one of the main things in improv is when we do comedy is listening, right? So sure, I just took that and I did it in for corporate and I did it in for interpersonal communication, whether it be for relationships with your spouse or your sibling or your kids. And I changed everything to you have to listen to understand, not just reply. And that comes from being a cop too. You got to listen to what the person is saying so you can understand it. If you don't understand it, you're just trying to get your point across, waiting for an opening to say something. You're never going to get anywhere. It's always going to be this, you know?
Well, it's true. So, and listening, people just, oh, yeah, it's easy. No, it's not.
Right.
Being a good listener is a tremendous skill. Tremendous skill. But I just want to bring up and just touch on for the moment the value of improv comedy and taking a course in it. It's a lot of fun, number one. And, you know, it helps you, even for me, even though, you know, I have my own podcast, I have my own business, I'm doing training. It helps you get out of your shell a little bit. It helps you kind of push your comfort zone.
Yeah.
And it's really fun. It's a great investment. Okay. So here we are with the 2020 annual Christmas show with Scott Baker. We just did, according to Ranker.com, the top 10 Christmas songs of all time. Yours truly, little disappointed. Again, as Scott and I have discussed, perhaps those that they are getting the survey results from is a younger, we're aging ourselves, Scott, is a younger demographic, a more millennial demographic. So it's just interesting to see over the last 3 years how the best Christmas songs of all time have changed and even the artists have changed. So next up, I want to talk about some of the greatest selling Christmas toys of all time.
Ooh.
And there's some really amazing statistics out there.
This is going to be fun.
This is going to be a lot of fun. Now, let's wind the clocks back, okay? Oh, yeah. Now, you shared with me earlier. Now, this my data here, funkyretro.com is the website, okay?
Okay.
And one of the lists that they have was what was the most popular Christmas gift in the year you're born. Okay, like, oh, okay, let me check this out. So, Mr. Baker, I hope you don't mind me aging you, was born in 1967. Okay, what do you think the best-selling Christmas gift was the year you were born?
Wow. In 19, Christmas gift. Oh, boy, because a lot of gifts come to mind from that era.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, didn't... All right, so if you fast forward, I'm going to work this backwards to forward. So if you fast forward.
I don't know if we have that much time.
Because once I remember like the hot gift and people were like killing each other in the stores. Once they have like the Cabbage Patch and the Beanie Babies and all that.
Trust me, you're not that young. I'm talking the year that you were born, okay?
I know. But they didn't go crazy like that where they killed people in stores and had Black Fridays and stuff like that. So I'm going to go back. You get a newsman. I'm going to go back into like the Slinky area because that was like a popular toy in the 1960s. Slinky. It's fun for a girl and a boy.
Yes.
So you had both sexes doing that. So that was a pretty popular one. So I was going to say somewhere along the lines of a Slinky type toy, because it would have to be unisex to be the most popular, right? Because if you had Barbie doll, it would just be popular, but amongst girls.
So you're saying a Slinky, you have to commit to something here.
I know, I'm thinking using my deductive reasoning. I'm being very deductive.
Oh, you're stalling is what you're doing here on this show. So, I mean,
Slinky's in my top two. Slinky's in my top two of guesses right now. So I'm plugging the mind. Is there another gift there? Like a big wheel may have been popular. So it's between Big Wheel and Slinky, I think, that come to mind. I'm going to go Slinky.
You're going Slinky. Is that your final answer?
Well, Etch-A-Sketch is pretty popular too, though. It was Light Bright. Etch-A-Sketch, Light Bright, Light Bright, Etch-A-Sketch, Slinky, Light Bright, Light Bright, making things with light, out of sight, making things with Light Bright.
And your final answer is Etch-A-Sketch. 1967, Etch-A-Sketch. Most popular Etch-A-Sketch? Etch-A-Sketch. Okay. Etch-A-Sketch. You are wrong.
Ah, damn. So close.
Actually, it's a great, great gift that year. The most popular Christmas gift, 1967, Battleship.
Battleship!
Ah! That was amazing. No, you weren't. No, you said Slinky. No. You said Etch-A-Sketch. No, you said Big Wheel.
Wait, you're going to the final. You're going to the final pie. You're not getting the ingredients that I put in. I said it had to be a unisex thing, and it was a game, right? Because you didn't have the cabbage patch where people kill each other. That'd be something everybody can play. So that's why Slinky, you can play Etch-A-Sketch, right? Light Bright, it's Battleship. You sunk my Battleship.
Yeah. I love that game. So, all right. So, 1967.
A lot of cheating went on in Battleship. Well, you know, you remember how to play, right?
You could move the ship. Yeah.
Yeah. So, no, you didn't hit it. And the guy moves it over like 1 inch. So, you know, a lot of cheating going on in Battleship.
Wait, you know? Now, did you partake in that cheating?
No, me? I don't cheat in games because if I don't win fairly, it's not the same.
Okay. You seem to know how to cheat in Battleship pretty good.
Because I didn't trust the other person, but
okay.
The reasoning.
Okay, is that what you call it? All right. Yeah. So 1967, most popular Christmas game, Battleship. 1970. Yours truly, born in 1970. You actually mentioned it.
Slinky.
Nope.
Big Wheel.
Nope.
Slinky, Big Wheel, Etch-A-Sketch.
Nope.
Light Bright. Great game. So you were like the beginning of the electronic era.
Now, no, but this is what's really disappointing. So I went back a few years. So my brother and sister were born in the 60s.
Okay.
66 and 64. I was born in 1970. And right. They always thought that they were born in the cooler generation. Oh, the 60s. Oh, you're born in the 70s, right? So 1967, as we just discussed, your year, Battleship. 1966, best Christmas toy, Twister.
Oh yeah, it's a fun game. What do you tell you? You don't think that's a popular game?
No. Bear me out here. Yeah. Great game. 1965, Operation. Remember the game Operation?
I just bought Operation 3 days ago for a toy drive.
There you go.
The cops I used to work with. It's still for sale.
And then I went back to 64, G.I. Joe. How
that's
cool.
A fun
really?
It's not unisex, so you're only selling to half the population.
Yeah.
So I know every boy wanted it, but the girls don't want G.I. Joes.
Probably
so,
not.
You know what I mean? So is it the most popular? I would figure it would have to be both sexes, you would think.
Well, I mean, that makes sense. So here's my point. So 1964, G.I. Joe. Awesome, awesome game. 65, Operation. 66, Twister. 1967, Battleship. Great, great. Okay. Yeah. Now we get into the 70s. Light Bright. Really? It's a peg game that lights up. I don't know.
Yeah, but it was the first one of electronics, so probably, you know.
Yeah.
When you were born, probably all the dim-witted kids were like, oh, look, it lights up. You know, it's beginning of the end. The beginning of the end, really.
And then, so I went to, I stopped. My wife is born in 71. Right. And this is where I stopped because I was depressed. The 70s really were taking a bad turn for cool Christmas gifts. 1971, I'm sure you remember this. They were called Space Hoppers.
Wait, that was the most popular gift? I never heard of it.
Okay, think of it as like a big, big, thick balloon, like big, that you sit on and has two horns or handles, and then kids just jump up and down.
Yeah, but what were those called?
Space Hoppers.
Those were on Romper Room where the kids had them, but they were Space Hoppers.
Yeah,
they were
jumping up and down.
I didn't think they were called they were called Hippity Hops.
That's what the list said. I don't know.
No, I mean I thought they were called Hippity Hops. I thought I remember them now.
You see, I think the '60s, you know, really had better toys than the 70s.
Light, bright, and hippity hops. Those are your toys.
I stopped at 71. I got depressed. I didn't even want to.
Kids played with a hippity hop for like 6 minutes and were bored of it.
Yeah.
How many? I mean, you know, because like, look, in the 60s, Operation's still around. Battleship's still around.
Classic.
Right? They're still around.
Light, bright, I don't think is.
Still around.
Space Hoppers definitely isn't around, I'll tell you that much.
No.
People aren't
hopping on anything anymore. People aren't hopping around on other things. Right? You have to wear a helmet today. You have to put a helmet on a kid and play with a toy. You know, we used to go on that stuff, drink out of play on your hippity hop, go drink out of a garden hose, you're fine. You know, now you need like a permit to drink from a garden hose. If you drink from a garden hose, you're going to come over there and save the kid. You'll be in the paper.
So this is all right. So now we're completely off topic, but this is a fun story. Drinking out of garden hoses, right? So my brother is 4 years older than me, and you know, there were no camps when we were kids, and we both played tennis. My brother was a really good tennis player, so we went to the local high school. We played on their courts in the summertime, and it could have been 90 degrees out, and we would go up there with a pitcher of water and a bunch of ice cubes. That was it, but we would play for like 2 hours. And that pitcher of water would be gone after an hour. Huh? So we'd go around the building of the local high school and we would drink water, the garden hose, and we'd even fill up our tennis can that held the balls.
Right.
So picture this, Scott. A tennis can for the tennis balls that had the yellow fuzzy lint in it.
Yeah,
and we're drinking warm water out of it.
How did you survive?
I'm here. I don't know.
Wow. But
good memories. Good memories. You know what?
By today's day and age, you'd get like a medal for bravery by the way they treat people today.
Oh, yeah, for sure. So now, all right, so here's some other interesting facts. Let me ask you this one. Let's get back to the trivia with Scott Baker here on the Profit Express. What was the first toy ever advertised on television?
First toy ever advertised? Can you give me a year?
1952,
first toy ever advertised on television, Etch-A-Sketch.
Nope.
First toy ever advertised, wasn't a big wheel, because I don't think big wheels were in 52.
No, they were, I think, 60s or 70s big wheels, to be honest.
Yeah, well, you press that little thing on the side, you skip.
Oh, that was so awesome.
Cool. It was so cool.
You used to pull that handbrake so much you'd wear a hole in the wheel. Remember that?
And you'd only get the best time to do it was like in the spring after the sand from was still in the street from all the snow from the winter.
Yeah.
You do that skid out thing, you know? Oh, I know the answer to this because I've seen it before. I'm going to hit myself in the head when you tell me it.
So first toy ever advertised on TV was 1952. Now, I'll give you another hint. This toy had been repopularized.
Monopoly.
Hold on. Slow it down there.
I'm so excited.
This toy was repopularized in movies, okay, in the mid and late 90s.
Really? It was repopularized?
Yep.
In the mid to late 90s. Wow. And it was repopularized in the middle late 90s, a toy that made a comeback.
Big comeback. The toy was a character in a movie.
Toy was a character in a movie?
Yep.
Wow, there's a lot of hints and I'm drawing a blank.
You're bombing miserably.
Yeah.
The toy was a character in a movie. What movie are you thinking that this toy may have been in?
I don't know. Is it from a character? I don't know. Because you think Disney characters when you think of toys like that.
Here's the final clue. I've given you about 15 so far.
I'm drawing a blank on this one.
So we have first toy ever advertised on TV, 1952. Then we have the toy was repopularized in movies in the mid-late 90s. Okay.
King Kong?
No. Okay. The toy was in a popular movie, and the
I don't know if you heard about it, but King Kong was a movie. Don't know if you heard about that.
Right. So now hold on now.
Pretty boy.
This will give it to you. So when this toy was a character in a movie, one of your favorite and my favorite comedians played the voice?
Mr. Potato Head.
Yes.
Oh, that was the first one. What a great toy. That
yes,
one.
Yes. Don Rickles played the voice.
Yeah, that's right.
One of our favorite. Don Rickles. There he is.
It is Don Rickles. Little name drop in there.
Well, you could pull a picture out. I can't, but yes, he was certainly one of my favorites and one of yours as well. So yeah, Mr. Potato Head, and obviously he was in Toy Story, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think, didn't his wife play, she was the mother from Seinfeld, George's mom in Seinfeld, played. Played Mrs. Potato Head.
Interesting side note about her. Do you know that she dated James Dean?
Get out of here.
Swear to God, don't make that up.
Really? Yeah. I did not know that.
Don't know if she was dating him at the time of his death or not, but she was his girlfriend at one time.
She was classic in Seinfeld, that voice. Yeah, great. Oh, my
perfect,
God.
Perfectly cast for that.
Oh, my God. All right, so next, so we have, this is the 2020 annual Christmas show right here in the Profit Express, and what better guest to have on than crowd favorite, listener favorite, fan favorite, favorite of my mom, Scott Baker.
Your mom's a wonderful woman.
She is, thank you. And whenever she hears that you're on the show, she's, I listened to the show, love Timothy, I loved it, that Scott Baker. When are you having him on again, Timothy?
Does she call you Timothy, really?
Yes, and she sounds just like this. He's so funny, that Scott Baker, he is. Yes.
That's so crazy. She calls you Timothy. I bet nobody calls you that, right?
No, very, very few people. Very
That's
few.
Awesome.
So she's a fan, too. Mrs. Healy, mom, is a big fan. So,
thank you, Mrs. Healy.
Can you guess? Now, this is an estimate from Monopoly, okay?
Oh,
I thought that I try to get as research as recent as possible. How many people have owned the game Monopoly? How many units sold, obviously?
How many units sold? Oh, it's got to be over a billion. It's got to be.
I thought so too. 750 million.
All right. So it's
you're there. No, you're there. That's a good guess.
I would say that now it's even crazier is that, I don't know. Are they breaking it down to just the classic Monopoly? Because like the first gift I bought my daughter, my daughter's, you know, my fiance's daughter's my daughter, but she was 9, and it was a version of Monopoly.
Oh, I don't know how they didn't say how many versions. I don't know if it's collective
of all that, of all those Monopolies. Now, like, you can get a Monopoly of almost every neighborhood.
Oh yeah,
you can get a Brooklyn Monopoly, an LA Monopoly. You know.
There's so all these different things, yeah.
I don't know if they include those. That's why I said like a billion.
I wouldn't be surprised if it's just the classic Monopoly was 750 million.
That sounds like what it would be.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I wonder.
I have to go back to the fact checker for that.
What was your favorite piece?
I like the car, the little car.
Yeah, I would think the two favorites were the car and the horse. Nobody ever chose the thimble. Who chose the thimble?
No, you chose a thimble because that was the last piece left. You got stuck with it.
That was what the grandmother took, right? Like when you said, okay, I'll play with you, Timothy. All right, I get to be the car. All right, I get to be this. I'll take the thimble. Those are probably words uttered by every grandparent. Fine, I'll take the thimble.
So now here we go. This is going to be fun. What game was the best-selling block game? Toy, you know, Christmas present.
Oh, blocks.
Blocks.
Does Lincoln Logs count as blocks?
Baker, you're disappointing today.
Lincoln Logs. I mean, that's a popular game.
You're right. It's very popular, but it's not. I didn't say the most popular log game. I said the most popular block game.
Block game? Well, Rubik's Cube is a block.
Oh, God.
It is a block. Is it not a block? Is Rubik's Cube not a block?
It's a cube. It's a cube.
Thank you. Right. Defense rest.
It's a cube. It's a cube.
The cube is the shape of a
cube.
Of a block.
It's a cube. Cubes are different than blocks. Cubes, I believe, are equal sided. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, but blocks are not. Some blocks are cubed.
Could be.
Pro quo quid. There is.
So now, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Best-selling block game ever. Not Lincoln Log. What's your guess?
The alphabet blocks for the kids, for the little babies. The
oh,
ABCs.
My God. Legos. Legos.
Oh, that's not a block. That's
yes,
a tile.
Yes, it is. No, it's not. Oh, God.
How is that a block? Are all the Legos the same size?
No, but it's a block game.
How is that a not, block game?
A cube. Cubes are all the same size. I don't know. I think the both of us are getting into geometric territory that we are not equipped to talk about. You know, cubes versus blocks and parallelograms. I don't know. But
Lego is ever the most popular toy sold?
No, not the most popular toy sold. It was the best-selling block game ever sold.
There's like a Lego museum, I think, too.
Oh, yeah, there is.
Right?
Now, guess how many, their estimate of how many individual bricks have been sold. Take a guess.
Oh, individual bricks. Oh, that's got to be a billion. It's got to be.
A billion. 560 billion.
Sorry, I was close.
Not at all. Not even remotely close. 560 billion pieces
right,
of Legos.
So before you get to 560, you got to start with one. Each journey starts with one step. Okay, so 1 billion on the way to 560 billion.
But they passed the billion a long time ago.
That makes McDonald's look like a bankrupt chain.
This one you should get no problem. Best-selling doll.
Oh, Barbie.
There you go. Bing, yes. Bing, bing. All right. Yes. Thankfully, I threw you a softball. This is interesting. Best-selling, this is tougher. Best-selling action figure. I'll give you a hint. It's not G.I. Joe.
If it's not G.I. Joe, and that which is very surprising, it has to be, I would say, one of two. Oh, well, you know, today's kids, though, they do different things, but...
Today's kids!
Today, no, because now everything like Marvel came back, so action figures from Marvel characters, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So... all those things, but I mean, in my day, it was either Stretch Armstrong, which was extremely popular. You know, Stretch Armstrong. Everyone had a Stretch Armstrong because you tried to see.
I can assure you, it's not Stretch Armstrong.
It was popular. Remember how you could try and rip the guy's arm off? Stretch Armstrong, or it is an action figure. Evel Knievel was huge.
All right, let's fast forward into the 90s. How about that?
Okay, Superman. Is that G.I. Joe? Did someone beat out G.I. Joe for an action figure?
Did you give up? Best-selling action figure.
Best-selling action figure. And it's not G.I. Joe?
No, sir.
What kind of that? Who does any kind of action? Someone G.I. Joe with the kung fu grip?
I know. I love G.I. Joe. But I'm just telling you.
$6 million man with a hole in the back of his head and you can see his eye.
Yeah.
That was popular too. Best-selling action figure, and it's not G.I. Joe with the kung fu grip.
Not Stretch Armstrong, not Evel Knievel.
I can see those two not being them, but the G.I. Joe's a shocker. And we can't call Ken, Barbie, we can't call Ken an action figure. He
no.
didn't do any action.
No.
He didn't do anything but sit there and look, hang out in Barbie's
no, playground. Yeah, exactly. Best-selling action figure, you stumped? I'll give it to you. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
That's an action figure?
Yeah, they had swords and all sorts of stuff. Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, because it's different than what it was. I mean, well, I can see that.
I said fast forward to the 90s.
No, you're right. You said the right things. I just didn't put two and three together.
Right. All right, now, come on. This one you should get. And again, we're talking FunkyRetro.com, Xmas, best Christmas toys of all time.
Erector set.
No. Best-selling puzzle game.
Puzzle game.
Puzzle game.
Rubik's Cube.
Bingo.
I knew it was in there somewhere. That had to be popular.
Bingo. See, it wasn't a block game. It was a puzzle game.
Oh, see, that's how they distinguished it. You ever see those freaks who can get one and do it like in 6 seconds?
I don't think they call them freaks. I think they call them very talented people, of which you and I probably are not a part of that group.
That's my jealousy coming out.
It is. It's rearing its ugly head of your jealousy.
It's beneath me, and I'm ashamed.
You should be ashamed. You should be ashamed. Yep. But you have your looks, sort of.
I used to.
You used to, yes. So you can look back at pictures fondly. So, no, number one, again, here's an interesting thing. In doing the research, there's so many lists out there that even in the same year, the data can be different. I'm just saying that, okay?
Well, especially when they put cubes and blocks in different categories.
What do you think was one of the best-selling Christmas gifts of all time. Toys. I'm sorry. Best toys. Toys. Yeah.
The Beanie Babies. Nope. Or Cabbage Patch.
Cabbage Patch.
Because those, I remember, if you remember right, they would drive, like, people were having fights. Toys R Us was having the tractor trailers, and they were paying off. I remember John Gotti's crew paying off, like, the guys. You get, like, half, you know, get, like, oh, bring the Cabbage Patch toys over to me. You know, and they were putting them in a warehouse, like, hijacking the Cabbage Patch trucks.
That was, I think, the first year was 1983 when it came out. And I remember my sister had gotten one. And they're literally, to my memory, there's a first time that there was chaos, that there was
chaos.
Pandemonium, right? Over a toy.
That's right. Oh, you had to have them, and they named them, and they came with names and stuff, and the family.
Yeah.
Marketing is genius.
But here's the interesting thing. You could still buy them on Amazon. They're still selling them. Amazing.
But the original, probably like a fortune.
Well, yeah, of course. Right. So, yeah, listen, the thinking cap was not doing you favors here today.
You know, I'm getting older, and you start throwing stuff in like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Because that's like, that's not so popular now, and it wasn't like the gift when I was a kid, so you caught me in between.
Oh, come on now. But listen, the next episode of Can You Guess the Business Icon will be coming up soon. So, listen. Go on the Google, okay? Brush up with the business icons, okay? Now you have warning. Now you have time.
Just out of curiosity, did a Rector set come up on anything? Because that was a popular toy.
Not in the top.
Yeah.
Not in the, like, the top 10 or anything like that, no.
And I'll tell you, two of the ones that made you think or made you do stuff was the Rector set, because you actually had to do, but it was fun because you were figuring something out. And I remember everybody, like, I think every young man back before the 90s, anyway, at one time in their life got a chemistry set. And
got to
together and stuff. Until, like, this one dopey kid probably blew up his garage or something like that. But
And that was the end of that.
The same kid who drank from a hose and filled up his tennis can. Probably one of those kids.
You know those kids. Listen, before I let you go, again, one of my favorite shows of the year, man. Thank you so much for being on board.
It's always fun to do.
This is a blast. Favorite, I didn't ask you this one. This is a new topic, a new category for the annual show. Favorite Christmas movie?
Oh, for me, it's actually my favorite regular movie, too, of all time. And it's A Wonderful Life.
Really?
Yeah, and that's my favorite movie of all time. It still goes along those lines of the Christmas song. Because,
wow.
You know, when you think back then, when he wants to kill himself for $8,000, right?
Yeah.
$8,000. I mean, in 19, what did that come out? 40-something that came out.
I think so.
It was after the war, so it had to come out right after the war.
Probably mid-40s or something, yeah.
Yeah. So $8,000, like, that's like a fortune. That's almost half a house in the suburbs.
Sure. Right?
But $8,000 now is still, you know, decent scratch. But then it was $8,000, probably like maybe equivalent to like $100,000 today.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
So would you want to kill yourself for $100,000? And you realize it's not the same thing. Just some things are just not worth it.
It's perspective. It's the perspective.
So what? You know, whatever. You only go through this whole thing once. It's your choice whether what's going to get to you and what's not going to get to you.
And so It's a Wonderful Life. That was what, Jimmy Stewart?
Yeah.
Yeah, that is a classic.
That's right. It was Jimmy Stewart. That's right, Jim. Yeah, that's right. You're very good.
Right. Mine, and we just watched it. We watch it every year. I wouldn't say it's a classic like It's a Wonderful Life. Yeah. Is Elf.
Elf is a great movie.
I love Elf. And yeah, the family, Carrie and Magnus, we watched it, I think it was like a week ago, 2 weeks ago. And my son Magnus loves the scene where the elf is in Manhattan.
Yeah.
And he's at the top of the subway entrance. You know how obviously the subway goes down below and you have the staircase leading to the subway and there's all the gum on the rail.
Yeah.
And he's so like, oh God. And he starts peeling off the pieces and starts chewing the gum. Now, we know it's a movie, but it's so funny because I don't know how many times I've watched it. Everybody, Carrie, me, Magnus loves it. He thinks it's awesome. Yeah. We all cringe when you watch that scene. Oh, he's eating Subway gum.
You cringe just when you were telling, when you were saying it. Yeah.
So that's my favorite, the Christmas movie. So listen.
It's classic, classic movie.
Let me wish you Merry Christmas.
You too,
Happy
Tim.
New
Thanks
Year, my friend.
For the last throughout the year, buddy.
It's always great to have you on, and we will be talking to you soon. This is The Prophet Express, and to everybody out there, Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, and to 2021.